after we finish with measurements, it's a good idea to look at the eye.
So before we begin, let's just make sure that you're aware that any of the information I'm presenting here is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's also not medical advice. And when you're presenting to your clients, you need to be really careful and make sure that they are aware that what you're presenting and what I'm presenting here today is intended as a sharing of my knowledge, information, clinical research, and clinical experience over many years. I encourage you, and you should encourage your clients, to make their own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This is especially true for folks who are on any medications. Just want to make sure that the things that we talk about in terms of nutrition are not going to interfere with the protocols.
Now, you're not an ophthalmologist, you're not an optometrist, so we're not here to get really detailed pathologies out of the way. What we're looking at is functionally, how is the eye doing? And functionally, there's parts of the eye, the skin around the eye itself, the lids, that are indicative of imbalances elsewhere in the body. So I put the eye anatomy picture there just so you can see. The cornea goes over the pupil, the iris is the colored part, the sclera is the white part, or so it should be. You can see that marked there. And then in between, in the back, is the optic nerve. If you actually have an ophthalmoscope that you can look inside the person's eye, you can actually see the optic nerve and the macula in the back of the retina. And you can see the blood vessels on the retina. So if you are able to look in people's eyes, you get a really good indication of their cardiovascular system. You can see indications of hypertension, of diabetic retinopathy, of atherosclerosis. And you can see that by the way that the vessels present themselves on the back. But in our case, what we're looking functionally at is the pupil, and we're going to look at whether it constricts and dilates appropriately. We're looking at the iris, the color of the iris, and markings on the iris. We're going to be looking at the sclera, whether it is truly white or there are discolorations. We're going to be looking at the lids themselves and what colors they are, and do they droop, are they swollen? And then functionally, again, with shining a light in the eyes and the opening and closing the eyes. So let's take a look at the exam page. So we've got the eye exam. The very first thing you're going to do is, in a darkened room, shine a small light, pen light is fine, into one of the eyes and watch the pupil. It should constrict, especially if you are in a darker room. You can do this in a daylit room. You might want to have them facing away, but if you have lights in the room, definitely turn them off so it's as dark as you possibly can get it, just so that there's a distinction between shining the light in the eye and it should constrict, even if it's in a fairly bright room. The pupil here, this should constrict, so this black should get much smaller. And ideally, if everything's working properly, you should be able to hold that for 20 seconds, right? And then at about 20 seconds, maybe it starts to waver, but you quit the test if they make it to 20 seconds. Quite frankly, most people don't. Adrenal weakness is indicated if they can't keep the pupil open for 10 seconds or longer. And a slight adrenal weakness might be if they can't between 10 and 20 seconds. But they definitely have some adrenal issues if after 2 or 3 seconds or 5 seconds, the constricted pupil then starts to waver and pulsate and dilate and open again. So that's an important thing to note. How many seconds does it take before you start to lose the constriction? And you jot that down here. Then there's all sorts of other things we can look at. We can look at a white ring around the iris. If they had a white ring out here around the iris, that could be due to excess calcium or aluminum. It could be related to salicylate poisoning, which is the chemical compound in aspirin, or even atherosclerosis. Now, when you see one of these signs, it doesn't mean that this definitely exists. We're going to be putting together clues. And you'll see when I show you the interpretation page, you put together the clues, and then you get a sense of whether the person has if this is the only sign they have of atherosclerosis, it's unlikely that they have atherosclerosis. They say they have a perfect cholesterol level, no family history. The only thing that shows up is this white ring around the eye. It's probably not related to atherosclerosis, but it could be an overdose of calcium or aluminum, and you want to ask them about their exposures to that. If they have a gray ring around the cornea, again, possible atherosclerosis, but also could be related to Alzheimer's disease or liver issues. Again, we're going to be looking at all the clues, the history that you've taken, the labs that you take, as well as the physical findings, and we're basically, it's like solving a mystery. A gray pupil is indicative of cataracts. Okay, it's kind of hazy gray. A green pupil can be indicative of glaucoma. And if you suspect anything like glaucoma or cataracts, then you want to refer them to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist to get things checked out. When the pupil doesn't constrict when the light is shined inside, that's indicative of weak adrenals. If there's a black discoloration below the bottom eyelids, that can again be a sign of adrenal exhaustion. If there's a brown discoloration below the bottom eyelids, that can be also adrenal weakness and also kidney weakness. So again, we're going to be putting this together with the rest of the history and the lab findings. Puffy bags under the eyes, that could be kidney or bladder weakness. It could be edema, and the edema could be related to allergies. It could be related to insufficient sleep. It could be related to an overall inflammatory process going on in the body. And then yellow discoloration below the bottom of the eyelids can also be liver and gallbladder stress. And when we look next at the sclera, you're also going to be putting that together with a yellow discoloration on the sclera, which is this white part here. When the eyes bug out, when you've seen that, I'm sure, where the eyes just seem to bug out, that's often indicative of a hyperthyroid condition. So the next set of findings is related to the sclera, which is this white part, or should be white part, of the eye. It should be a nice, really clear white without a lot of red spots. If you do, you want to start asking questions about their sleep patterns, about their alcohol patterns, and such like that. So if it's yellow or brown, it can be indicative of liver or gallbladder stress. It can be a sign of jaundice. If it's clear but has a bluish tint to it, it might be poor circulation or anemia. Then you may actually be seeing some of the haze, the color from the veins below, because there's a thinning of the sclera. If it's red, you could be in conjunctivitis. So this little red stuff you see over here in the corner, you'd see this throughout. And more than just seeing the arteries there, you actually see the little hazy red around here. That would be kind of throughout it when you've got conjunctivitis, which is an inflammation or an infection in the sclera. It could also be inflammation in the GI tract, the liver. Or the liver. There's something called liver fire rising in Chinese medicine, which is heat in the liver, and that can cause redness in the eyes. And in Chinese medicine, the eyes are very connected to the liver. So when people are explaining that they have loss of eyesight or some issues with their eyes, you want to start looking and examining for liver issues. What we find also is when people go on cleanses and detoxes, they suddenly report that their vision is better. And that's because of the relationship between the vision and the eyes. If it's actually green, that's very much related to the liver and poor bile formation. If it's pasty or off-white, it could be lymphatic congestion, lack of drainage of lymphatic, which is helping you, is part of your immune system that's helping you fight off infection and inflammation. Finally, gray sclera can be indicative of constipation or sluggish bowels. And you're just going to be marking these if you're examining someone or having them mark these themselves when they're examining themselves. If you're working long distance with people, you can have people do this themselves. You can also show them how to take a picture of their eye. The pictures of the eyes are tricky to do to get such a clear picture as this, but there are some techniques that can be done. Most iridologists know how to do that.